571. Come see the gun doctor.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number two. Pastor Jeffield, go ahead and pick it up right there where you were talking about things that they tried to pass that, could have been proven to be unconstitutional, therefore null and void, according to Madison Marbury. Explain that again, please.
Right. Okay. John Marshall, who was the second Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, asserted that it is up to the Supreme Court to declare laws unconstitutional and therefore void. He asserted it's called the power of judicial review. Now, people like Jefferson and Madison disagreed. Previous to Marbury versus Madison, during the Adams administration, the Federalists pushed through the Alien Sedition Acts, in which were really unconstitutional, and we've talked about that. But according to Jefferson and Madison, it was up to the states to write resolutions of nullification. In Kentucky and Virginia legislature said these acts, the Alien Sedition Acts, are unconstitutional. They're null and void. They have no force. We're not going to follow them. See, and everybody agrees that if a law is unconstitutional, it's null and void. The question was, and maybe still is, who decides? Basically, the consensus now across the country for virtually everybody is the Supreme Court decides that question, not the states. But I'm just telling you, in our history, it was the states that decided. And then the Supreme Court.
When did that change?
It was first asserted at Marbury versus Madison, asserted again way later in 1857 at the Dred Scott decision, which was a terrible decision. It was asserted then, and but as you've already mentioned, Lincoln was told to do a number of things by the Supreme Court, and he just ignored the Supreme Court. He just did.
My kind of president. I like that.
Yeah, there you go. But once we got, later in the 19th and into the 20th century, it's pretty much accepted practice now that if the Supreme Court declares something unconstitutional, then everybody listens to it. And we have to go with that now, because otherwise we could be thrown into a terrible state. For instance, what if the Supreme Court said you can't remove President Trump from the ballot, Colorado or whatever state, and Colorado says, no, we're going to do it anyway. Then what? I mean, who would have a say-so then? So we got to – so we have to – the rule of law through tradition now is the Supreme Court decides that. My only point here on the division of powers was this, that as originally written, the Supreme Court would be the weakest of the three branches. It really wasn't three co-equal branches. It was no. Division of powers was one, the legislative branch, the most powerful, two, the executive branch, second most, and thirdly, the judicial branch would be the least powerful. But that's over the centuries. They're more, you could almost argue now that the Supreme Court's the most powerful branch because, I mean, if they declare water to be dry, everybody believes it must be so. Well, right. The Supreme Court said that water is dry and that snow's not white and that and so on and so forth, that they're the ones that determine all reality. Oh, are they? Now, in my view, Randy, the ultimate nullifier is not the Supreme Court. It's not even state legislatures. In the end, it's the individual. In the end, now, I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't all obey the law, and the Bible teaches that, of course, excuse me, but in the end, if the federal government or the state government tells me that I must, like they had a two-baby law in China for decades, if they would tell women you must have an abortion in China. Well, if I'm in China, and they tell my wife that she must abort her child, I'm saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I am nullifying that law. That is an ungodly, law. And yes, I have to make that call. And by the way, Martin Luther King Jr. made that argument. If any law ever goes against natural law, then it's null and void. And you've heard me talk about that. Okay. So again, six principles. We've talked about: one, limited government; two, federalism; three, division of powers; four, checks and balances. That's a system that's written throughout all the articles, that is designed to prevent any one branch from becoming too powerful. Now, it used to be in our government that there was some, and there's a little bit, but not much, there was some institutional jealousies, which is not all bad. What do I mean by that? That the Supreme Court would, as a court, would say, whoa, legislature, you can't do this. President, you can't do that. I mean, you were a little bit of prejudiced toward a little bit of bias for their own branch. And the system was designed to prevent any one branch from becoming too powerful. For instance, let's say the legislature passed a law. Well, okay, they passed a law, but that's a check that the executive has on the legislature. Is that law has to be signed by, they pass a bill before it becomes a law, that bill has to be signed by the president. That's a check that the president has on the legislature. But now, if that legislature can get a two-thirds majority vote in both houses of Congress, that's a check that the legislative branch has on the executive branch. Now, what checks does the Supreme Court have? Well, the judicial branch, they're appointed for life. So once you become a federal judge, unless you're impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors or whatever, then you have a check on the other branches. But on the other hand, if a person commits crimes, that person can be impeached and then by the House of Representatives and removed from office by the Senate. That's a check that the legislative branch has on the judicial. What about the executive? The executive gets to appoint the judges. That's a check that the executives have on the judicial. So you have a whole system of checks and balances designed to prevent any one branch from becoming too powerful. Our founders and the framers of this Constitution were afraid of power because they knew what power would do to people. As Lord Acton said, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You just can't have you can have too much power. We don't want a dictator president, and we don't want a dictator legislature, and we don't want a dictator Supreme Court. We want them kind of balancing each other out. Of course, under the idea of natural law, fundamental things that are right and wrong, and for me, the Bible, yes, but still, there's got to be that balance. And then the whole notion of federalism, again, is that power is divided between state governments and the national government. Power is dispersed. Power is divided. We understood that to be good. Now, the fifth principle is written law. This almost goes without saying, but it needs to be said. You know, in England, they had just tradition. They had common law that they had developed over hundreds and hundreds of years. To this day, they have, you know, the way we do things is the way we do things because it's the way we've always done things. We wrote things down. So what the Constitution, the text of the Constitution, what it precisely says is important. We have a tradition now that we look at the law. What does the law say? And sometimes if the law is written poorly, then it has to be changed because it was too ambiguous. When you have written law, you remove ambiguity, or you at least minimize it. You make things more precise when you write it down. It's just a fundamental. You write it down. Whereas England had all these traditions, we have written law. Laws have to be precise, and that's a fundamental. And the last principle is popular sovereignty. Ultimately, ultimate power resides in the people. Ultimate power resides in the people. The first Michigan Constitution said, I think it was modified in 1963, that all power resides in the people. In the end, it resides in the people. Now, careful now. We are a Republican form of government. I say ultimate power resides in the people, not immediate power. We are not a democracy. We're a republic. So if we want to change our Constitution, it should be difficult to change it because we're not a democracy. And the people that founded this country didn't want a democracy. They understood a democracy to be something like mob rule. Now, I will tell you this. There was always a little bit of tension there. The Federalist Party, Alexander Hamilton, Washington, Adams, they had very little trust in the bulk of the people because they almost viewed them as a mob. Whereas the Jeffersonians, the Democratic Republicans, Jefferson and Madison, they wanted a little bit more power to the people. And there's always been a tension there between, you know, that. It wasn't until the early 20th century when the progressives came in that we had all these ideas of initiative and referendum and the people voting and so on and so forth. Our founders would not have liked that. They did not believe in that. And I would just tell you this, frankly, in Michigan, it's way too easy to change the Constitution. It should not be just a simple majority vote. That runs contrary to the framers' idea, our founders' idea. In other words, it needs to be difficult to change fundamental law. It shouldn't be a simple majority. Because now, if you got a billionaire that wants to support some idea and you can get on TV and promote it, a simple majority can change our Constitution. That is the way it is, but this is my commentary on that. But popular sovereignty, in the end, power resides in the people. So those are the six principles of our Constitution. Any questions, class?
At this point, as I'm sitting here listening, two text messages also coming in. If this structure was the original ideals, principles, how is it that everything is completely upside down today? How did it happen, and what can we do about it?
How did it happen? It happened bit by bit by bit.
Drip by drip by drip.
And, you know, part of it was when people, and even Fox News and others, you know, democracy 2024.
It's a load of crap. We don't even have democracy.
Yeah, right. So let's just be a little more precise. We have a republic, okay? A representative democracy, a constitutional republic. Let's
Amen.
Be more precise.
Yes, let's start doing that. Final segment of discussion. Send me your text message questions from Pastor Taff Phil. We'll drill them real quick. Final segment. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Rainey for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. I'm a physician, not a politician. I've been on 35 mission trips, mostly disaster relief. I've led medical teams to every major disaster in recent history. When COVID broke out, I was asked to serve in New York City. My motivation to run for U.S. Senate is the same. As a first responder around the world, how can I not serve when my own country needs me? As your next U.S. Senator, I will bring the cure for Michigan. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Everybody, welcome back. Final segment of History Lesson. Tom and Petoskey, you need to clarify your text message. It's not clear. There's some ambiguity. He says, basically, Pastor Chatfield, since a simple majority is dangerous when changing the Constitution, why don't we use that simple majority to change the Constitution so two-thirds would be required by a referendum? Not really sure.
Yes. You could do that, but the left would never go for that. They might go for it now that they've got their, Proposal 3 passed.
Right. But, I got Cliff Tellini is mirroring Tom's comments. It should be at least a two-third majority on a referendum to amend the Constitution. That would check the progressive Marxists in Michigan. This simple 50% plus one to change the Constitution is not strong enough in both of their opinions.
Right. I agree, for sure.
I agree as well. Well, now, here, let me ask you this question on that point. I have somebody challenge me about Ask My Tax. Carla Wagner was on the show. They are going into full mode April, May, and June to get the necessary signatures to put it on the ballot. And she says, well, Randy, you're basically operating with mob rule. It's going to be a democracy situation. 50% plus one is going to change and eliminate property taxes, force it back on the legislators in Lansing to figure out how to fund local governments when you take away property taxes. And I said, well, it's in our U.S. Constitution. And she goes, no, it's not. And I said, you've not heard of petitioning your grievances against your government in Amendment 1? She goes, well, it's not in there. She said Amendment 1 is, freedom of speech and freedom of religion. I said, honey, there's 5 components to the First Amendment. Why don't you get it out and read it? Isn't petitioning our government for your grievances part of the referendum process?
Part of the referendum process?
Well, you're petitioning. You don't like what Lansing's doing. You don't like the way they're spending our money, $82 billion budget. She's just now talking about $500 million a year to go into the SOAR fund, Strategic Outreach and Attraction Reserve, Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the Michigan Strategic Fund. Now they're coming up with high incentive wages to retain employees where you can keep your state income tax if you hire new people. Where in the heck does it say in the state constitution that we should be in the business of economic development?
Well, I agree fundamentally with you, of course. But again, the Bill of Rights was originally written to prevent the national government from infringing on our rights. State governments had way more freedom to infringe, if you want to say. They had way more power.
Right.
But even at the state level, I'm talking about the principle of mob rule. Yeah, it should not be 50%, 51% should not
50% plus one person.
Correct. So that's not that the framers of our Constitution would not have agreed with that. That whole the people rule direct rule. Democracy is not a principle found in our Constitution as originally written. It just isn't. There you go.
Yep, it's not there. Just like separation of church and state is nowhere in our Constitution or our founding documents.
Correct. And again, remember, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. It was designed to prevent the having a national church. There were states that had state churches.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, like you say, for how many years was church services done right in our U.S. Capitol building?
And that's a separate issue in itself. The First Amendment didn't say that the national government couldn't endorse God and Christianity or general Christianity, basic general Christianity. It's just you couldn't establish a church. And Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion to establish a church.
Right.
We don't want a national church, but it doesn't mean that we can't have prayer before a football game or something.
Exactly. Excellent. So are you guys literally driving or have you pulled over the side of the road?
We're at a rest area.
There you go. Well, we'll let you get back on the highway. And, of course, I ask you every Friday now, what are you going to be preaching on Sunday? People want their Bibles open, their sticky notes ready to go. So putting you on the spot, what part of Scripture are we doing on Sunday?
We're going to talk about Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus came into Jerusalem about a week before he was crucified, and where a lot of the people received him. But those same people, some of them were the ones who were yelling, crucify him just a few days later.
Yeah, and what was the purpose, the meaning of the palms being waved at him?
It was an Old Testament there. I think it was Zechariah where he says that, hey, here's the king is coming. We are, and they laid it down and on his path, and they made the way for the king. Here he comes. But the king, when he comes, you know, he's got some, he wants to rule in your life, everybody. If you want Jesus to be your savior, praise the Lord, receive him as your savior. He died for you, was buried, and rose again. But then once he becomes your savior, he does become your Lord. And he does want you to follow him, obey him, serve him.
Yep, absolutely. Live your life like him if you can, at the best ability. One thing, I got one text message real quick. When will the states start standing up and fighting for their 10th Amendment rights?
Well, there you go. Well, the governor of Texas is pushing. He's pushing some. I appreciate that. And so is Governor DeSantis. He's kind of pushed some.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to be organized here, too. This is tricky because anytime you start organizing now, the powers that be would call you, you know, insurrectionist or something. That's just the way it is now.
Amen. Well, you have safe travels, and we'll see you on the radio on Sunday, sir.
Real good. See you then, Randy. God bless you.
God bless you. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop. If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Politics doesn't belong in the classroom, nor does the woke agenda. Hi, it's Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a physician, I know the importance of education. I want every child to have the same opportunities I did. That's why we must return to teaching academics rather than confusing children on gender issues. I will fight for the future of this generation. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan.
Your current time is 11 o'clock.
Michigan News Source. Brought to you this hour by the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. On the job every day, fighting for